Hey everyone, Mark here, and this is a quick commentary follow-up to the article about the three loves. This is, like most of the articles, way, way, way deep in the archive that you are right now. This article is a holdover from my dating business. I think it was actually written in maybe 2009, early 2010, so it's quite old. It's probably 6 or 7 years old at this point. The first thing I should say about this article is give a couple warnings or caveats or buyer beware. Back when I wrote this, I definitely wasn't as versed in research and understanding different scientific research as well as I am now. So I definitely took quite a bit of liberty expounding upon some of Fisher's research and ideas. If you go to her books and read her books, her theory is not presented in the same way that it's presented here. This is another way to say it is that this is definitely my interpretation of her work and her theories, or that what you're receiving in this article is not a completely accurate representation of her work. Rather, it's being pushed through a filter that is my brain and my own understanding based on my own experience. That's not totally clear in the article. If I wrote the article today, I would probably make that more clear. I do find her theories to be interesting, but the second caveat or buyer beware is that this whole area of human sexuality, love, attraction, relationships, all of the research that's going on in this area, it's all extremely new. And very, very touch and go. Like people, basically nobody knows for sure what is actually going on, in terms of like human attraction, human mating, human relationships. It's a very new area of study. Psychologists, there's not anything that psychologists can point to and definitively say, like, this is true about humans. There are things that appear to be more likely to be true, and there are some quirks of human behavior that are pretty unique among primates. But at this point, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that the science is not settled in this area, and so Fisher's perspective or her research is simply one of many perspectives and a lot of research that's going on. So, my filter aside, also don't take her work as the definitive truth. To go a little bit deeper about Fisher's work as well, basically her theory is this. Her theory is that humans are emotionally monogamous but sexually promiscuous. That humans will pair bond with one another for strictly social benefits, but also benefits of the child. And that if humans can, they'll kind of cheat and sneak sex with other partners, especially partners they find more attractive, if they can. But Fisher's idea is that she basically says that humans pair up and like bond emotionally. They have this extreme emotional attachment to each other. But her theory says that this generally only lasts for about 7 years. And she believes that it lasts 7 years because that's about as much time as you need to raise a child to a level where they can kind of become a little bit self-sufficient. Or at least not be entirely dependent on both parents all the time. And so in her model, she kind of says that, like, okay, so two people fall in love, it makes them want to have sex constantly, which, is kind of nature's way of helping us get pregnant and keep the species going. And then we hold on to that initial emotional attachment or that initial love for 6 to 7 years, which gives us enough time to raise a kid to the point that, they're probably not going to die. And then we get bored and move on. Or at least biologically speaking, we get bored and move on. If people do decide to stay together, then it's out of personal choice or cultural values or social pressure or whatever. It's for more cognitive reasons that people stay together. It's a more rational decision rather than an emotional one. The emotions go away after 7 years, but it's our different social norms that keep us together for longer than that, if we do stay together. This part of her theory is definitely much more controversial, I think. There are a lot of people who don't agree with her. I kind of don't agree with her. If you look at divorce statistics, there are two moments where divorce is by far the most likely. The first one is within the first 2 to 3 years of a marriage, which is, and also when the first child arrives. So it's like this early period of divorce. I think it's something like over half the divorces happen within the first 2 or 3 years and right around the time the first child arrives. The second most common time of divorce is when the children leave the home or are about to leave the home. So usually about like 20 years into a marriage, when little Junior and little Susie or whatever are 18 and graduating and getting jobs and moving out. The explanation for this is that those are the two times that change the married couple's life the most. So the first major change is bringing a child into the world that completely changes around both people's values in the relationship, what they care about, what they think is important. You know, it's easy to get married when it's just the two of you and you still like going to concerts all the time and taking road trips together, and then suddenly you have this like little kid and you discover that, well, actually it turns out that he has all these ideas about, you know, how to raise a kid, and she has all these ideas about what sort of school he could go to, and all of a sudden they discover that they disagree on a lot of very fundamental but extremely important subjects related to raising the child. And so, yeah, a lot of people can't handle that. They also can't handle all the stress and, you know, the lack of sleep and a lot of the passion, that original passion, that love number two leaves the relationship around that time. And so they find that they can't survive it. So, you know, that's a huge, huge life shift that a lot of relationships just don't survive. And then, you know, when the kids leave for school, it's the same thing. It's another major, major life shift. Suddenly you have all these couples that, you know, maybe they function very well together when the focus was always on the kids and making sure the kids were doing okay and that they had a good life. But as soon as you remove that like external focus, as soon as the kid grows up and becomes independent, you know, suddenly the married couple looks at each other and is like, wait a second, we don't actually want to be together. So you get a lot of divorces around then. Fisher's theory suggests that most divorces would actually happen in this a little bit later in a marriage, you know, say 5-6 years into a marriage. And that's actually after when you see most divorces happen. And it's also way before you see the second most amount of divorces happen. So it seems like the data doesn't totally back her up. I think she's probably looking at a lot of cross-cultural stuff, maybe looking at like hunter-gatherer societies and stuff like that. But, you know, I personally think my belief at this point is that relationships are essentially based on values, what each person finds important, and good relationships are based on values that align or complement each other very well. And it makes sense that relationships will probably end during those moments in life where people's values are most likely to change. So that happens when kids are born, that happens when, you know, something traumatic happens, that happens when there's major money problems. You know, maybe a couple is together for 10 years and money was great the whole time, but then all of a sudden they run into money troubles and suddenly your values shift. what used to feel important suddenly doesn't feel important anymore for each person, and they look at each other and they don't recognize the other person that they're with because the values have changed. So this is an idea I actually want to write a lot more about myself. It's a very hard, I think it's probably going to require an entire book by itself. But, you know, hopefully one day that will come out, because at least for me personally, I find that idea, the idea that relationships are based on values and that when relationships fall apart, it's because values become unaligned or start harming each other rather than helping each other. I find that to be far more explanatory than a lot of this kind of like evolutionary explanation stuff. The evolution stuff definitely matters. It's definitely important to understand, but I think we're kind of going through a trend in psychology these days where people rely on it. They over-rely on it in terms of like explain it. They over-rely on it in terms of explaining human behavior. And I think we're more complicated than that. I think the fact that our brains are so complex and we're able to build cultural and social norms for ourselves is far, far, far more important than, you know, what other apes do in the middle of Africa. So anyway, now I'm getting way off on a tangent, so I'm just going to end it there. Hope you liked the article and hope you liked some of my ideas about relationships. And there will be more coming about that in the future, so stay tuned.